May God bless our meditation on his word for us this morning. That word that we will consider comes from our epistle reading today and Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews was written in 65 AD during Nero's reign of terror in Rome. Nero threw some Christians into prison. He confiscated the property of others. Times were seemingly bleak for people of faith in Jesus. What had they lost? What did they have left? Perhaps those were questions on the hearts of many Christians in Rome. And perhaps that's why the author of Hebrews writes to them to assure them and encourage them in what they did have. If you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll see this two-word phrase come up again and again and again. The phrase, we have. Let me show you. Hebrews 6:19 says this, we have hope as an anchor. Hebrews 9:12 says this, we have eternal redemption. Hebrews 11:16 says this, we have a heavenly city. Hebrews 13:20 says, we have an eternal covenant. And in our reading for today, we get those two more. Two more we haves. In verse 19, we have confidence to enter the holy places. And verse 21, we have a great priest over the house of God. So what message does the preacher to the Hebrews want his hearers to understand and believe? We have. And the same is true for you. Through Jesus, all who are in Christ have all of these things. And notice the tense of each of these declarations too. None of them say, you will or you're going to have. And they don't say, maybe, hopefully, someday, you just might have. No, the writer to the Hebrews assures his hearers, even in the midst of what they were going through, that they yet had much. And the same is also true for you, brother and sister in Christ Jesus. We have, present tense, right now. You are a child of God. You have all the riches of God's grace. You are forgiven. You have the peace that passes all understanding. You are free. You have eternal life and salvation, and it's all through Jesus. For in Jesus, we have everything. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, you may have lost a lot in your life, but you still have a better treasure. We've all lost near and dear treasures, but in Christ, each of us still has something better. The days of our life may wane. Our energy and youth may be lacking. The things we once had in our possession may have slipped through our fingers. The numbers on our bank accounts may no longer have as many digits as they did before, but yet, we can rest assured that we have something even better. It's a treasure that we haven't earned, that we haven't won, that we haven't found. But in Jesus, we believe this treasure is ours. And in Christ it is. For in Jesus we have all the riches of God's grace, mercy, and eternal salvation. At Christmas, I know the pattern when our kids open up their presents. It's the same every year. First, they unwrap their presents, and then they open their presents, and then they want to play with their presence. It never fails. You know, sometimes as adults, we may open a gift and we may appreciate having it, but we may leave the box unopened. We might put it up on a shelf and save it for another day. And sometimes we forget we ever got it. And the next time we see it, we put it out at a garage sale, and with the words "never been opened" scribbled on the box. That happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? We have a gift, but we miss out on receiving the benefit of it because we never use it. Not so with kids, though. As soon as they unwrap and open, they've got to play. Pause the rest of the gift openings. We have to stop and play with this right now. You know, the writer to the Hebrews has impressed upon his hearers all that they have in Christ, but now he switches gears to encourage them to unwrap their gifts, to unbox their packages, to put to use what they have been given. You see, "we have" has now become "let us." And both should go hand in hand for the Christian following Jesus. Here's what God's word says, this from the NIV translation. "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near. Why would we stand far off? Why would we keep an arm's distance from the rich treasure that Jesus offers us? It's yours. Come and get it. Draw near. You know, growing up, my family had golden retrievers in our house, and one of them was named Katie, and she was a good dog, but even though we had her for most of her life, she never grew out of some of the habits that she learned when she was young. Before we got Katie, she lived with a bunch of other dogs who would all be fed out of the same bowl. So because of this, Katie learned that if she wanted to have any food to enjoy, she would need to take the food to go. So she did. We'd fill up her bowl and tell her to come and get it, but she would run in and grab a mouthful, and then she'd run away to some other part of the house to eat it there. And while she had a difficult time breaking that habit, our other golden retriever at the time, his name was Sawyer, and he could never understand why she did that. He had his own bowl that he would lay down next to and eat away in leisure, while Katie kept running back and forth to her bowl for quick bites. For Katie, she grew up learning that she was only entitled to what she could grab herself, no more. But you know, that's not the way it is for us with God, is it? All we have is a gracious gift from our Heavenly Father. We haven't earned it with our good works. We haven't grabbed it with our stealth and speed. Rather, it's been won for us by Jesus and through His blood. It's yours. And so what does the Bible tell us? Draw near, lay down, dig in, enjoy. And how do we do that? In the Bible, the word sprinkled is often connected with sprinkled blood that brings forgiveness, which points us to Holy Communion. And the body is washed with pure water. What does that point us to? It points us to baptism. How do we receive all the treasures that Jesus has won for us on the cross? It's through God's means of grace. Through Holy Communion, through baptism. So don't keep an arm's length from what God has for you. Let us draw near and receive them. But hold on, because the phrase "let us" keeps coming in Hebrews. It also says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." When I took my driver's test to get my first driver's license more than 20 years ago now, I learned that the proper way to hold the steering wheel is 10 and 2. Maybe you learned that as well. Nowadays, the advice that you maybe are more likely to hear is 9 and 3, like in this picture. And I know some of you may find yourself casually employing the thumb on 5 method more often than you should. But we know that when the going gets tough, our grip matters, right? When the roads are icy, when we are in heavy traffic, when the rain is coming down faster than your wipers can pick it up, 10 and 2 or 9 and 3 is the way to be. You hold on to preserve that which is important to you. You know, in a similar way, the Hebrews preacher calls us as Christians to do the same. And what are we called to hold on to, as it says in the NIV, unswervingly? It's hope. We are called to hold on to this hope tightly, securely, steadfastly. If it's important, then we hold on tight, right? In our lives as Christians, we hold on tight to the hope that we have been given in Christ, because he who has promised is faithful to us. But wait, there's still more. For there are still two more "let us" exhortations that we find in verse 25 of our reading. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We believe, and so we seek to receive. And where do we receive so many of God's treasures for us? It's right here, meeting together in worship. That's where God delights to give you the treasures of his grace. You know, in my time as a pastor, I've heard more than once people tell me, "Pastor, I can worship God anywhere. I'm a Christian and all, but I don't need to go to church." Well, let's think about that. Yes, you can pray anywhere. Yes, you can ask God for forgiveness anywhere, and it is yours. Yes, you can sing God's praises anywhere, and you should. But does that mean sitting in our deer stand is just as good as sitting in a church pew? Does that mean that sleeping in our bed is just as good as kneeling at this altar? Does that mean that simply watching services on YouTube is just as good as being together with God's people in worship? No, it doesn't. For here in this place, we don't just remember God's word, but we hear his promises proclaimed and applied to our lives. Here in this place, we don't just remember that we are forgiven, but we receive God's gifts of forgiveness anew as we receive the body and the blood of Christ. Here in this place, we aren't just told that we aren't alone in this life, but we are visibly and physically assured that we are not alone in the body of Christ. For these reasons, and for so many others too, the preacher to the Hebrews calls us not to give up meeting together for worship. And just like many in our day have fallen out of that habit, so too had people in the early Christian church. So what should we do instead? Instead of giving up meeting together, we are encouraged to encourage each other all the more as we see the day approaching. What does that mean? Well, the day refers to the day when Jesus will return again, just as he said. So what should we do until that day comes? Encourage each other. Encourage each other that we are not alone. Encourage each other that God's promises are true. Encourage each other that we have exactly what God has promised us through his word and in his Son. So, in the book of Hebrews, the message for us as Christians, it can be summed up with two-word phrases. We have, and let us. We have hope as an anchor. We have eternal redemption. We have a heavenly city. We have an eternal covenant. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. We have a great high priest. In short, we have all the riches of God in Christ Jesus. So how then should we live? Let us draw near to God's throne of grace. Let us hold on to the hope that is ours in Christ. Let us not give up meeting together. And let us seek to encourage and build each other up as we await that day yet to come, when Jesus, our faithful Savior, will come again. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we pray. Amen.